Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stan, you pointed out that next week at this time we will, well, we think we will know who the Chiefs draft unless they trade out of that deal, which I'm, you know, hey, I'm always looking to trade up. I'm aggressive like Brett Veach. Let's go. But it is very exciting. I'm telling you, we had Jesse Newell in studio yesterday, and he mentioned that his latest mock draft, he had Ben Sennett in the third round of the Chiefs. Or was it the fourth round? But he thinks that he won't be there in the fourth round, that either they would either have to trade up from that or take him in the third round. So more smoke there, and there could be fire. Because, look, when we talk about the Chiefs improving their weapons in the passing game, people focus on wide receiver, and I understand that, but as Andy Reid has shown, he loves the tight end, and there's more than one way to move the football down the field through the air. The other thing we've been talking about after Andy Reid spoke to the media is left tackle, and he talked about Wanye Morris, and because he's the guy right now. But it just doesn't – I mean, does anyone – and maybe I'm wrong – does anyone think that Wanye Morris will be the left tackle on opening day? I mean, I'm barring injury or anything else, you think that's where we're headed?
I think there's a chance. I think I'd give it a 20% chance, 15% chance.
Because to me, what it looks like is they're gonna draft one, and then depending on what they think of the guy they draft, then either Donovan Smith is waiting, or they've got a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like, well, you know, I think what they had with Mike Dana.
Exactly.
You know, just, hey, just hold
it's
on.
It's not
wait
inconsistent.
A minute. Yeah. Just chill out.
I feel like Morris is definitely a plan B. Plan B. Wanye Morris.
Yeah. But like Donovan Smith, I think, is waiting, and maybe that's why he hasn't signed with anyone. They're saying, hey, we'll get to you after the draft. Just hold on. And I think it depends on if they draft a guy that they can come in right away or more of a developmental guy.
He can't come in and start right away.
Right.
In my opinion. Whoever the tackle isn't going to be ready to roll at this level on game one.
That would entail, I'm just leaving the idea open for some wild trade up where they get a guy that's incredible. But I'm with you, right? That's unlikely.
Not for the left tackle.
Right.
The most important thing the left tackle needs to do is not make an error mentally that leaves a free runner right to Patrick Mahomes. Just do something. Know who you're supposed to block. Even when he audibilizes or there's an intricate new scheme, just know who you're supposed to block. And if you can't physically do it, Patrick will cover you. No problem.
Would you trust Wanye Morris to be able to do that?
Yes.
Until, like, say they draft a guy that's not ready?
Yeah.
Could Wanye Morris be the guy that holds the spot and not Donovan Smith?
Yes. But I think Donovan Smith is a more likely starter for the Chiefs next year, in my opinion, than Wanye. But, yes, I think those are all options. And even if they pick a first-round tackle, I don't think that first-round tackle is going to be starting for the Chiefs until two-thirds of the way through the season. It's just hard.
Right.
It's the NFL, baby. Those pass rushers on the edge are the elite, high-paid guys who blow games up. And they will flip from one side to the other. You're not just a left defensive end or right defensive end. You go wherever you want to attack the weakest link and coming around the edge. You know, that's how you can change ball games. So I think being an offensive lineman is something where, like a fine wine, once they get going, a little more age and a little more age and a little more age makes them way better. So, but it takes a little while. You got to be patient with the offensive lineman. And so I would not expect a rookie to start immediately at all. That would be a big surprise.
In a couple of the latest mock drafts at CBS Sports, by the way, yesterday I said I'm overwhelmed now with these mock drafts. I don't want them anymore. Yet I keep referencing them on the air and reading them because I'm an idiot. One mock draft, and this is a guy. Oh, man, 2 months ago, and I don't know who it was. Jake, help me remember. They linked the Chiefs, and they mentioned, hey, by the way, a name to watch the Chiefs like this wide receiver. Was it Daniel Jeremiah? Was it Lewis Riddick? It was somebody that would know, and he was just throwing it out there.
Traeger.
Like,
yeah, are you talking about the Washington receiver?
No, no. This is even further back. The Western Kentucky receiver, Malachi Corley.
Oh, okay, no.
Do you remember me talking about it? It was like at least a month ago.
I'm thinking Traeger was the one that had was the just kid the, from
that was just this week,
South Carolina, right?
Yeah. No. It was a kid from Washington that Traeger had.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That nobody was talking about.
Right.
They had like a third-round projection.
But like a month or so ago, somebody said, if you're looking at receivers under the radar that the Chiefs would like, maybe in the second round, remember the name Malachi Corley. And this was, I think, maybe this would have been out of the Senior Bowl or something. I'll look back at it. But anyway, this mock draft has them taking Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. And then the other mock draft they released has them taking offensive tackle Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. This is the Chiefs get their much-needed offensive tackle who can also play guard if need be, balanced and powerful at the point of attack. And so, like, if they have two similarly graded prospects, one at wide receiver or one at tackle, which way are you leaning?
Hopefully all my offensive line best friends are listening right now.
That's right.
That you're asking the wrong guy, because it'd be the easiest question in the world for me. Not offensive lineman. Patrick Mahomes, who had the best five best offensive lines in the NFL last year? Is there some kind of ranking? PFF or whatever?
Yeah, I would assume the 49ers were up there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Zach Martin and the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is so good. You know,
I think the Eagles.
The best part of Stan being a Dallas Cowboys fan is he goes out of his way to take shots at the Cowboys. I feel like at least once a week somehow he makes this like, you know.
It's fair. It's objective. Yeah. And the Cowboys are a known commodity throughout the nation, right?
Yep.
You either love them or hate them, but you track them. What is ESPN Get Up Show? It's a popular show. Gets a decent rating, I bet. What do they talk about every third day, even in the offseason?
Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So top five, according to PFF, Eagles were one, Cleveland Browns were two, Chiefs were three, Ravens were four, and the Lions were five.
Okay, I'll give you a different one then. The Pro Football Network had the Eagles one, so we feel like the Eagles were number one. They had the... Thanks, iPad. Anyway, they had the Chiefs number five in this one.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, my point is that offensive line is very important, don't get me wrong, but it's five guys. So it's the accumulation of how those five guys work. And the quarterback can control things more than the offensive line because, not that the offensive line isn't important, but the differential between the midpoint, the median offensive line in the NFL and the best, there's just not that much difference. That's my point. It's not that you don't care about the offensive lineman. But if you have the best offensive line or you have a above-average offensive line, there's hardly any difference. That's not true of the quarterbacks.
Eagles, Lions, Browns, Falcons, then Chiefs. That's what they had. So.
16th best quarterback in NFL is nothing like Patrick Mahomes. The 16th best offensive line is in the range of those teams that you mentioned. So my point is you can work around all kinds of combinations of the offensive line.
As long as your offensive line is not a disaster.
As long as it's not a disaster, and that becomes the quarterback controls that, the head coach or offensive play caller controls that. Because if you have a weakness in the offensive line, then one of those tight ends, how many tight ends do the Chiefs carry?
Four.
Are they all on the 45-man roster that suits up?
Sometimes, yeah, usually, yeah.
So,
you know, love them.
Why do they have all those tight ends? There's a lot of reasons why. They do a lot, but they block. Mm-hmm. So you just have to know when you're playing a certain opponent and our left guard isn't good enough, not talking about the Chiefs, just generically, or your left tackle's a little bit of weakness, you have a tight end, chip over there. Or you slide your line a certain way. Or when Peyton Manning was in the pocket and didn't move, right? Did he take sacks?
No.
Did Tom Brady take sacks? No, he protects his offensive lineman by audibilizing, calling the right play, making good decisions, and getting rid of the ball. Well, Patrick Mahomes does that better than any of those two. Because Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever. Peyton Manning, pretty well respected as one of the greatest ever. Dictating back there, right? They didn't move like Patrick Mahomes. So what happens if someone misses a block? What does Patrick Mahomes do? Just moves out of the pocket like no big deal and doesn't even have to throw it away. He usually will complete it or run for 10 yards. So because Andy Reid knows where his strengths and weaknesses are, he's an offensive line guy. He knows he understands what stress points they have. Like, you might say our left tackle's not that good. Well, you know what? There's certain blocks that he does just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Does he give him a sack every play? Does his guy blow up every run? No. There are certain things, and he goes, okay, on these plays, he's going to be fine. But on this play, we're going to be in trouble against that defensive end. Don't call it. Use a different formation.
Have a tight end over there to help him out a little bit.
You can work around. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's how good all five guys work together. Not only how individually good they are, how do they work together as a team is what makes your offensive line.
I wonder if he got this from Bill Snyder or somebody on the staff, but one of the things I remember Mark Mangino saying early in his career at KU, and they put in that spread offense and didn't have great talent on the offensive line, and somebody was asking him about that, and he said his phrase was, you know, we feel like if we can get a hat on a hat.
Talk like him.
You know, that's I was trying to.
A little
to.
Bit more.
You know, we feel like if we could get a hat on a hat.
There you go.
We can do the things we need to make the play happen. We don't have to, he would say, like, we don't have to dominate the line of scrimmage for our play to work. We just have to make sure that everybody's accounted for in the blocking scheme. If I block you long enough, you know, I don't have to dominate you and push you 5 yards back. That's not the way the offense works anymore. That's kind of, I mean, because, and they say in the NFL in today's world, right, that the vast majority of sacks happen because of a breakdown on the offensive line in terms of, oh, we didn't block that guy. Not because, oh, that guy just blew me up. That happens some, like Chris Jones blows people up. But for the most part, sacks happen because, oh, they ran a stunt and we didn't pick it up. Or they blitzed somebody
okay,
and we didn't see it.
That's why running backs are so important at picking up the right guy. Because usually it's not the offensive line that screwed up.
Right.
It's the
right.
running back
right.
who goes, oh. I took a step to the right, and here comes a blitzing linebacker to the quarterback. So, you know, I think the other side of this is very interesting. As you mentioned, a receiver from Western Kentucky. And as much as we love big-time football and the subject of transfer portal and conference realignment and all the money going to the Big Ten and the SEC, right? There are more pros in the SEC, no doubt about it. But it's amazing that you go to the NFL rosters and there are players from other places in the country on their team. And I'll give you an example is, you'll have different connotations when I say this today, but at this time last year, how many people were talking about Rashee Rice from SMU?
Not right. very many.
Right.
So there are great players, and I trust the Chiefs, if they say, we're not going to go with McConkey from Georgia, but we're going to go with this Damn guy it. From Western Kentucky, I trust them completely.
Right.
Because there are so many guys like that that would fit their scheme and what they want. It's one of the exciting things about the draft that I think you should not think's crazy, but actually have confidence in.
Well, they've had a lot of success drafting guys from non-Power 5 schools in the secondary.
By the way, sure. I found it, Jake. Charles Goldman, the guy we had on this week.
There you go.
He wrote an article back on February 1st about Malachi Corley and the Chiefs' interest in him, and he mentioned that Chiefs co-director of college scouting, Pat Sperduto, is a big fan of Corley. Corley, 21 years old, 5'11", 215 pounds, physicality. There's a clip that made its rounds and went viral of him basically trucking a defensive back at the Senior Bowl. He had a good Senior Bowl performance, and that's what really got him on the radar. Physicality extends to beating press coverage and run blocking. You know, the run blocking part Andy Reid loves. Very physical receiver. Someone said he just trucked the life out of a DB in the middle of the field during one rep at the Senior Bowl. What a show of strength. Also, in 2022, 975 of his nearly 1,300 yards receiving came after the catch. He leads for most yak of any wide receiver in the 2024 NFL draft class. And
sounds a little bit like Rashee Rice
right,
last year.
Yeah.
And the guy, take this for what you want, but when they asked a couple of people at the Senior Bowl, who's the comp, right? Deebo Samuel is the comp.
So I'm seeing this from the NFL.com site, their breakdown of him. They talk about Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, partially because of how strong and powerful he is, but also on the negative side, they list him as an average route runner, so you have to scheme the ball to him. Then that's kind of what they did with Rashee Rice.
Well, I know
right?
a guy that could do that.
Yeah, that's what they did with Rashee Rice, right? He didn't run a lot of routes where he juked a guy and got open. It was get the ball in his hands and let him go
upfield.
And he
can take care of that. So my point is that we get ready for this draft. Some organizations just blow it, and some are really good, and the Kansas City Chiefs are really good. So wherever they come from, these could be NFL players and NFL stars. They don't all come from the bigger schools, and I'm reminded of that, talking about Rashee Rice being at SMU as a receiver from Western Kentucky, but my son Stanton's out recruiting right now. He's a special teams coordinator for Toledo in the MAC, and he's out recruiting and happened to be able to stop by in Kansas City, and I think about how exciting the draft's going to be for our three local schools, for instance. What Mizzou has a couple of guys that could go in the first round.
Right.
And you could have some hope that they end up being a Chief. K-State, you talk about Ben Sennett. Cooper Beebe could be a first-round pick and an offensive lineman, an All-American. There's about four guys that could get it done from K-State. KU has guys that are going in the draft.
I've
being
seen Pooney
respected.
Go in the third round in a bunch of mock drafts. I saw one go to the Chiefs in the third round.
And think about where Pooney was just a couple years ago.
Central Missouri.
I mean, yeah.
So the reason why I bring that up is because my son's home, and so I track Toledo a little bit better. But Quinion Mitchell is expected to go higher than any of those guys. He's from Toledo. He's a cornerback who played on special teams for Stanton and ran a 4.33. 40 at the combine.
Holy Toledo.
Rockets.
Right.
No, that's very good. But I'm just saying, is a good example. Like when you talk about a Western Kentucky player, an SMU player, I know about this guy from Toledo and of the local. He may go before any Big 12 player from our local mentality. So just you don't know where these great talents are that could be NFL players, stars, draft picks. And that makes the draft very intriguing to me. And I don't have time to study it and give them a lot of advice. But, man, I am enjoying every one of those picks when they come off to go, oh, that's who you selected? And then, you know, if they're good, they could be a part of your team for the teams you hate. You know, the great thing about the NFL is disliking your opponents is as much fun as liking your own team.
So just remember, and this is, I try to pay attention to people who might have good sources within the Chiefs, right, when these mock drafts, instead of just throwing darts. And that's why Charles Goldman, writing that article about the Western Kentucky receiver, like, okay, let me file that. And now all of a sudden he's going in mock drafts to the Chiefs. And so let's remember Malachi Corley. The other two I want to mention real quick before we break. Peter Schrager clearly has sources within the Chiefs. And so him having them take Jalen Polk, the wide receiver from Washington, their third wide receiver, but still a hell of a wide receiver, that raises some eyebrows when he has them in the mock draft going to the Chiefs. And then yesterday, or last night, RG3, Robert Griffin III, who is an analyst, but also does have good sources, and he's had some good draft analyst analysis in the past. He had this big post where he said, Xavier Leggett on the Chiefs would be a match made in heaven. Andy Reid covets versatility, and Leggett played outside and in the slot with South Carolina. Gives Mahomes a guy who could turn a slant into a 60-yard TD, and could be that anchor leg to help them run down a three-peat. So you got RG3 just doing a unique post about that, and then that was like a day after Mel Kiper and Field Yates did their mock draft and had him going to the Chiefs. And so there's some smoke around wide receivers that a lot of people haven't talked about up until the last week or so. Is it a smoke screen? Is this all what they're really interested in Ladd McConkey or somebody else? I've seen Ricky Pearsall as a guy that's thrown out there from Florida. Is this all a smoke screen that they're really going for offensive linemen, or is one of these guys going to be the Rashee Rice this year that nobody really saw coming? So it's really interesting.
The other thing I think to take into account that I really do believe is Bill Belichick has come out and spoke some this week. And Bill Belichick, relaxed and not the coach of the New England Patriots, is a completely different guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen him enough and believe that, but the stuff he was talking about,
I've seen it live in person.
You have.
Oh, yes. Wow. Look at this humble brag. Go ahead.
So, Ian Eagle's stat guy, his spotter is a guy named Jim Stamos. And Stamos' dad, they grew up in the New England area, was very good friends with Bill Belichick growing up and in the football world. And so we were doing a game in New England, and we have meetings in with CBS. We meet with all the coaches, and I just kind of sit in the corner and just watch, right? And I just keep your mouth shut and, you know, don't be noticed. And that's what I do. And I did.
And be thankful that you're getting to see this live and in person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so
that's like one of the most impossible things in the world for you not to be noticed.
That's right. He's got his bag of Funyuns there. Right.
And so after the meetings ended, you know, and I got to be really good friends because I'm on the headset with Jimmy all the time, you know, every game, every weekend. So, and he did college football as well, and he traveled on game day to wherever the NFL game we were doing. And so we were leaving the room, and Bill recognized Jimmy. He went up and said hi, and they started, like, having a normal conversation. And actually, you know, he was cracking jokes and, you know, how's your dad doing? And you know, how's your mom? And you know, how's you know, your brother? How's the family doing? And they were just sitting there. I'm like, who is this guy?
Like, no coach speak now.
None. And it was like, he's a real human being.
Well, I saw him on Pat McAtee. Not that I watch that all the time, but I just happened to catch him because there's Bill Belichick. And the thing about to the draft that I was trying to make a point about, guys, is that he's saying you don't know how it's going to unfold.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like, oh, we're putting a smoke screen up. Well, maybe if you're the fourth pick. But when you're a championship-level team like the Patriots were with him and the Chiefs are now, they are ready for all kinds of contingencies. So I just think that's really a theme for me is I don't know. They don't know exactly how it's going to play out to get down toward their pick. Or even if they move up. How long do they wait to the 15th pick? There's a lot of different options. And hear a guy like Bill Belichick just go, not like, I know everything, and we dictated to others. It's like, hey, you don't know how it's going to turn out.
And I think that's one of the things that I really admired about the way Veach has set the team up the last couple years going into the draft, where he had flexibility. Like, from a salary cap standpoint, from a roster standpoint, like, we talk about the left tackle situation, they have options.
They can win games with that roster right now.
Like, they're not walking into the draft going, we got to get a left tackle or we're screwed. You know, or we got to get a wide receiver.
They are the favorites already for next year.
Yeah, and so that gives them...
Without any draft picks.
Yeah. It doesn't mean they can't improve in areas, but they have this flexibility of knowing we can sit back, we can see if there's a run on tackles and somebody's desperate, we can make a trade down. Or if we think there's something on the board and we can go up, we have the flexibility to do that from a draft capital standpoint, from a salary cap standpoint. And because of exactly what you said, you don't know how it's going to go. Stay light on your feet, you know, and stay ready to stay nimble, you know, to make whatever move is necessary. We talked about it. There's only a couple of positions where you're like, boy, if they drafted that position, you would really scratch your head. Outside of that, it's like, oh, that's great.
I like how you talk about being nimble and moving light on your feet when you have a cast on.
He's not that.
I'm not that right now. I admire people that are because I'm not so
psychologically. I got to say one thing about Jake first before we go on, because Jake was away for a little while writing his book. So you may not know this, Jake.
Oh, was he?
You talk about your CBS days.
Yeah.
Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
I met Ian Eagle, I think it was last year, NCAA tournament. And naturally, when you meet a guy like that, you don't want to bother him. They may come over to you and say, hey, I want to talk to you about K-State. But usually you don't want to bother him. But it's the day before the game, it's very quiet. It's relaxing. You're not being a jerk when you go say hi. But I had to have a tie, right?
Yeah.
And I said, Jake. I said, like, I work with Jake. And he treated me so nicely. So thank you, you know. If I see Bill Belichick, I'm going to say, hey, coach, I've been wanting to meet you.
Remember this guy?
Jimmy was in the corner? Stamos, the guy.
Sitting quietly in the corner.
And you remember Jake?
Yeah. You probably seen him.
It looks like Tony Siragusa.
What I thought was really good.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
A really good window into there was the that documentary that was on HBO. It's been about 4 or 5 years ago, The Art of Coaching. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and it was just them at a table having conversations, and then they got in. There was, like, some outtakes they showed at the end after they had stopped, but then they were just – it caught them talking about setting up practice. And, like, hey, so what do you do here? Like, what are you going to do about the other? And then you caught a glimpse, like, oh, this is, I wish it would have kept rolling, because, like, how much would you love to hear them talking about just how they were going to approach certain things in practice or whatever else? It was, remember that was on? That was great.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. The other one is Jimmy Johnson is real good friends with Belichick. So he has, off season, Jimmy Johnson loves boating out and
fishing.
Yeah. And he'll get Bill Belichick to go out with him on the boat, and they had a video crew go out there with him and watch him. And to see Bill Belichick completely relaxed and the things they talk about. And Jimmy Johnson's pretty confident, so he'll ask him stuff. You're like, when I won a Super Bowl, I always said, you got to have this and this. What do you think, Bill? And then Bill just talking to his friend, even though we have the audio, that's really good. If you get a Saban or a Jimmy Johnson or someone like that with Bill Belichick, and he's a little more relaxed. But right now, he'd be a great analyst.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be the best.
Because he doesn't brag about, like, I know everything. He kind of tells you what really goes on.
And if he acts like he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think he needs to do that if he ever wants another job in the NFL. I think it'd be...
Change your image, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if people, like, see him, like, oh, this guy's funny.
Humanize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
because everyone's scared of him, and no one in the building wants him. That was the big theme in this offseason.
Either
that,
or he needs Robert Kraft to stop calling other teams and telling people, oh, you can't trust this guy.
Don't trust Bill.
He'll stab you in the back quick. So, apparently that's what he did with the Falcons and Arthur Blake.
Unfortunately, he and Jerry Jones are friends, so that's why he's not the Dallas Cowboy coach, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, there's something to
it. Bill Belichick should be the Dallas Cowboys coach right now.
Yeah.
Right
well,
now.
The Bills should have hired him.
A lot of teams that should have hired him.
Yeah.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. See, man, this is when you wish you could have the commercial breaks on the air. There's some good storytelling going on. So our next guest is already here early. Gary Dieter out there, take note. Dr. Vince Key will be on with us coming up at 8:05, but Dr. Key and Stan are old friends, and you guys were filling Nate in on the background and everything else. And so Dr. Key had no idea that he was going to come in and examine Nate live on the air, and we'll get that.
Well, he walked within 10 feet of Nate and immediately called out what the injury was. Right. That is amazing.
He just said, you broke. That's accurate. That's accurate. Nailed it.
Oh, obviously something that he does every day.
Right. Absolutely. So we look forward to that conversation. So, Stan, again, we were talking about the draft coming up, and we just went through some different wide receivers. And you mentioned, I want to mention Cooper Beebe, because I've seen him, you know, maybe having a chance at the end of the first round, certainly in the second round. So for a team that lands him, give me a little bit of a preview of what they're going to get.
He's a veteran who has played a lot of positions. In the NFL, the flexibility of an offensive lineman is so valuable. It's great if you step in and you're a star and can play a position your whole career. You know, fine. But usually you got to be ready to do different things, and for you to have a long career, it's really helpful if you have the flexibility, because on a day when the rosters come out, usually there are only 8 offensive linemen with uniforms on and ready to play in an NFL game. So if you're one of the 3 that's not starting, the most valuable thing you can be is flexible to say, you need a guard, you need a tackle. Oh, right side, left side. Cooper Beebe has been a starter for K-State almost his full career. After redshirting 1 year, he comes back and plays and starts at right tackle for basically 1 year, left tackle for 1 year, and left guard for a couple years. And whenever K-State needed to make a move, if something happened, if there was an injury that you didn't know if it's going to be one series or a quarter, or, you know, whatever, he would move out and play tackle this last season for K-State. So he has the capability, the knowledge base, the physicality, experience to play many positions. So I think that becomes super valuable as an NFL player to have a long career. Next thing is, he's physical. K-State's going to teach you about physicality. The type of offensive system they run is a little bit old school. It's not just pass, pass, pass. So he knows how to block. He understands the physicality of the game. He's ready to ramp it up and play against the guys in the NFL. And the other thing that K-State does that's really helpful in the running game especially is they have as intricate of running offense as anybody in the country. They pull their linemen all the time. They put you in all kinds of different situations where you have to get out on the edge in space and make a block. And to be a good NFL player, you got to be ready to do that, because the hardest thing to do when you're an offensive lineman in the NFL is go out and pull and try to get your hands on, even touch, these safeties and these linebackers and these cornerbacks who you're going to have to meet in open field. You can't draw up a play and tell where that contact's going to occur. It is going to occur wherever it happens to occur. So you got to be, as Nate talked about, nimble on your feet. Well, when you weigh 320 pounds and you're pulling out to the side, going through traffic, by the way, if you're the left guard and you're pulling to the right side, you got to kind of fight through your own linemen, the defenders trying to get there, and now you come around the corner without seeing, and within a split second, can you find that safety, get your hands on him? Or if you can get your body and smash into him, it may be a 30-yard run. That's what's at stake right there. Tackle for loss, 30-yard run, and everything in between. And Cooper Beebe has played all the positions. He's obviously now practiced center in the offseason. Connor Riley's a great offensive coach for K-State, offensive line coach. He's been there, coming with Chris Kleiman 6 years ago from North Dakota State. He's now the offensive play caller for the Wildcats. But he's telling Cooper, hey, let's work on being a center as well. Because the flexibility to move and play center in the NFL even makes your value more. So it's very exciting what he can do, because he is going to grind and do his work day by day. Cody Whitehair has been a starting NFL lineman for the Chicago Bears and in the NFL for a long time. You probably don't know his name very well, but that's been a story of K-State football all the way back to when Bill Snyder started building it, all the way through Chris Kleiman. Is if a guy's good enough to make the NFL from K-State, they're likely to stick for a long period of time and be a contributor and just get better and better, because they understand the grind of what it takes, what a work ethic is. And when you're a pro, that's one of the shocking things to these young athletes. They're coddled as high school guys into college. In the pros, it is business, right? There's no coddling. They'll cut your ass. You know, and the K-State players have always been really ready to just say, oh, I understand what my role is. Just like you said, Cooper Beebe's going to be the guy who's there 10 minutes early every day. Why? Because he thinks it's normal. Because now, but other guys need to be taught, hey, you're a pro. Do you realize Patrick Mahomes needs to grab a guy and go, hey, you're not at college anymore. You know, you need to be here early. So Cooper Beebe has the flexibility to do a lot of things, play guard, maybe tackle, maybe center. So I'm excited about him. And just hope, when you play his position, you just hope he goes to a good team. I'd rather see him drafted really late in the first round or even in the latter part of the second round to play with a team that goes out and wins. Because a lot of the joy an offensive lineman will get at the end of their careers, did our team win?
Plus, he's a KCK guy, so you know that bumps him up right there.
And Cody Whitehair just signed with the Raiders 4 days ago, so he continues
to
be
center guard, right. Does a nice job.
Does it all. We'll take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Stan Weber in studio. Jeff Penner is going to give us a weekend forecast. We got Dr. Vincent Key coming up. Mike McFarland. Tim Grunhard.
I should just stay here and
just hang out.
It'd be so much
right?
fun hanging out, talking to these guys off the air, and not taking away from your time. But we're having a good time off the air, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Better off the air, I think, than than on the air. Hey, another transfer portal ad for K-State. Guard C.J. Jones from UIC averaged just over 11 points, 4.8 assists, and 3.5 rebounds last season. And so made his commitment after visiting campus this past weekend.
Yeah, the big thing is the two guys K-State's picked up have proven that they've been in the games in stressful situations and having to play the best they can, and they're not just bit players. Like, hey, this guy has potential, and he may grow when he gets to K-State. That can happen. Don't get me wrong, but you feel a lot better. And I know Jerome Tang talks a lot about it. He likes guys who win in high school, win state championships, AAU championships, whatever it is, winners, and then also veterans who played a lot of minutes. And so far, the two pickups K-State has gotten both play a lot in their past experience. So it's just refining what they do, not teaching them how you put in a full 25, 30 minutes of stressful basketball.
The guard play very important, obviously, in the transfer portal for Kansas State. That's the focus.
Let me just say one last thing about the draft, because we're going into the draft next week.
Yes.
On Friday, we'll know what the first round looked like, right?
Yep.
I want to say this. You mentioned a Washington receiver, mm-hmm. where some people had moved up the draft board compared to a lot of people. I would say in general, watching Washington play football last year, my impression was there are a lot of guys on that team that should be going higher in the draft than were probably put. And I'm obviously going to start with Michael Penix Jr. The guy's too old. He's had so many knee surgeries. Talk to Dr. Key about that, because what does that mean to your future nowadays? But he was an Indiana player forever.
Right.
And got hurt all the time. Went to Washington and really lit it up this year. Most people are going to say, I don't like that injury record. Don't want to use too much draft capital or too much money on a guy like that, right? I mean, I have no problem with that. And they can say that he's too old, those kind of things. I'm just saying, that guy dropping down in a draft is going to be such a value. He may be an NFL starting quarterback that's counted on and wins games. But at worst, I think he'll be a great veteran, be a backup, a young backup on a rookie contract that could come in and win games for you, want to learn. His maturity, being too old, in other words, is really going to be a benefit. He's not going to be in a hurry. He doesn't have to be a starting quarterback. He doesn't have to start ever, and he could be an NFL roster and be there and help win games. I love Michael Penix Jr. because you're not talking about him as a third pick. He may be better than these guys like Drake May. Seriously.
I think he will be.
I've seen him going in the beginning of the second round.
Whoever picks Penix, I'm more excited about them than Drake May.
Raiders at 12. I've seen him in several mock drafts to Raiders.
Okay. I believe in him.
I do too.
And sure, he might break down. He's a little old. I'm just telling you, I believe him probably a lot more than these, like Spencer Rattler coming out of South Carolina. So watch these Washington players in general.
Penix.
And Michael Penix Jr.
Or J.J. McCarthy.
I take Penix.
Me too.
Because I like J.J.
I don't dislike J.J.,
May.
But I don't know why I should like him.
Right.
I mean, he dealt with Harbaugh very well. And when you're with Harbaugh, you're with a big-time NFL coach, right? He's a winner. But where's his talent lie?
He didn't ask him to do a whole lot.
He looks like a college quarterback more to me. And Penix, when you watch him, that looks like an NFL quarterback.
Just the guy who went through New England, right, from Alabama?
Right.
Forgetting his name right now.
Jones?
Yeah. Mac Jones. He won like crazy in college. Yeah. Did what he needed to. I love his attitude. But could he do it in the pros with the athleticism he had to do it? He's already moved on, right? He got traded to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that kind of situation occurring with McCarthy, where he'll try and do his best. But does he have the athletic ability to rise to the NFL level? I don't know.
Penix does.
I think Penix does. Stan, and he throws a great deep ball,
right?
Which doesn't happen very often.
Stan, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate
it. Can't wait to hear all my friends come on the radio with my friends. You guys, thanks for having me. And let's go, Doc.
That's right.
Can't wait to hear.
Jeff Penner with a quick forecast.
Doctor.
And then Dr. Vincent Key after this on WHB.